The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
From the record of Going Easy, Case 11, Yunmin's two illnesses. Great Master Yunmin said, "When the light has not penetrated and dropped off, there are two kinds of illnesses. One is where everything is not clear, and before you, there is something. The other is penetrating the emptiness of all dharmas, but vaguely there seems to be an object. This too is the light having not completely penetrated and dropped off. Again, the Dharma body also has two kinds of illnesses. One illness is receiving the Dharma body as the Dharma, holding it and not forgetting seeing it as if it exists. This is to fall on the side of the Dharma body. Another is even though having passed straight through, you cannot let go. Next, carefully, attentively examine one by one. What breath is this? This too is exactly illness." So here we are, day 4 of Sesshin, looking into this case by Yunmin. If you had attended the 2-week residency prior to Sesshin, you would have enjoyed many talks, and perhaps you did, either here or online, by myself, Melissa Roshi, David Roshi, Alan and Paul, all using Yunmin's wonderful koans. And one thing that you may have noticed is that much of his responses or much of his words are very sharp and pointed and pithy and directly to the point. Sesame rice cake, dried shit stick, golden wind, medicine and sickness. This case, however, seems a little different. It's a little more elaborate. He seems to go on uncharacteristically. And yet, I read some of what has been written about Yunmin, and it turns out that he didn't quite want any of his words written down. But his students, his disciples, wrote them down anyway. And so there might be some editing, some things going on in that respect. But every single one of them has great value in our practice, great wisdom. And this one, it seems a little obscure, somewhat impenetrable. What is he talking about? The two illnesses. As I see it, he's saying this light, this wonderful light that you are. There are two ways to get stuck or get sick. And I'm going to give you 4 of them. Right off the bat, like a koan. But for me, this word illness, or in the other translation that Alan read yesterday, sickness, is a little difficult for me to work with, because it carries so much meaning, personal meaning, the word sickness, the word illness. It sounds like something I want to avoid. I don't want to get sick, and I will do everything I can not to get sick. And I don't know, that flavor of that doesn't feel right. And yesterday we had a lovely part of our Dharma dialogue where Ray posed a question about sickness, and Melissa responded by saying that a condition is sort of more appropriate, or some other teachers use the word condition. For me, I like the word stuck or stuckness, because for me, life, this is about life, the continual flowing of life. And we as humans get stuck. Life doesn't get stuck. We do. When we extract our ideas of life and work with them in our minds. And the other word that has made it difficult for me, and perhaps for you, to get into this koan is this light. When the light has not penetrated. What light? We hear this term through all religions and culture. Enlightenment. Like something has been bestowed upon you, or you have found something. Enlightenment. We don't typically use that word here at Boundless Way. We use something more like realization. Because in our Mahayana school, our tradition, we say that you are already Buddha. You just need to realize it. But this light, what if it were your natural state? What if standing in the light, being the light, being a drop of light in an ocean of light, were your natural being as a human being? I really feel this. We had discussed at some Dharma dialogue that most everyone has sort of had an awakening experience, but they get kind of covered over because it doesn't flow or jive with the regular everyday moving from one thing to the next. It's so sudden and so strange, it just gets quickly forgotten. But I really do believe that it's our natural, it's who we are, the light. And I believe this, not as we believe, but actually from evidence. And the evidence is my beautiful 9-month-old grandson. Just to see him explore, use his senses, seeing his senses develop, seeing how everything is right there. There's no subject-object split. He is just there completely, and everything goes in his mouth. Now, I bring my grandson, not because he's special. Every infant is like this. Every healthy infant. But within 18 months or 24 months, his brain will develop so that his thoughts will become to take quite a strong position in his life. And he will begin to realize that there's a he, he's there, and then there's something out there. We can't ever go back to an infant. If we do, we have to be hospitalized. And like it said in our sutra reading, when a baby babbles, is anything said or not? Of course, nothing's said because the words are not right. And yet, something is said. A human being coming forward as a human being. So, Master Yunmen says that this light, which is naturally us, can be revealed. And there are many people, and I include all of us in this room, who have had that moment where we've seen and experienced something, something transformative, something opening. Call it a Kensho, call it whatever. Something where something stopped. And the subject-object split seemed less solid. Some of these experiences have been quite dramatic. Others have been just enough to put us on the path. And that, in my mind, is enough. And so this first illness, or place we get stuck, or let's say stuckness, is where he says, everything is not clear, and before you there is something. Well, this is everyday life. We live primarily in a world of objects. And when we live in a world of objects, we are an object. And it's so hard to see otherwise. And objects, not just physical objects, but thought objects, and personality objects, and people objects. Essentially, there's me and there's the other. In one of our readings, it says, we construct a world outside of us and then try to pocket as much wealth and happiness from that world as we can. That's essentially normal life. I know for me, for many years, Sesshin, a big part of Sesshin was pain management. My back has sometimes a tremendous amount of pain between my shoulder blades, just about late afternoon. And for many years, I really didn't do long sesshin. I would do mostly the coming and going, where I could go when it got too painful. But I discovered something after a while, something profound for me, is that the pain, the problem of pain, the managing of pain, seemed to completely correspond to the level of me that owned the pain. The more me there was, the more problem the pain was. And the less me, the less the pain was a problem. The pain didn't go away. It was always coming and going, and some days worse than others. But as a problem, it didn't hold its grip. And so I could sometimes just sink in and feel terrible. But with enough ibuprofen and patience and adjusting my posture, sinking into it It wasn't a problem. And then I had this idea. What would happen if magically this pain were turned into pleasure? I had at 3:30 every afternoon a great pleasure center that was in the back of my shoulder blades. Would it still be a problem? Well, at first, might not. But then as I could sort of extrapolate and see my mind work, it would be a problem. Because eventually that pleasure, that 3:30 pleasure, I'd come to expect it. And maybe yesterday's pleasure wasn't as good as today's, or tomorrow's I would anticipate. And this would become a thing. What if there's just the sensation? What if it's just this thing that my body does that makes me human? To be human is to feel pain. If you can't feel pain, there's something wrong. Now, I'm qualifying this too by saying that I'm not saying that pain is a gateway and that you need to suffer. You need to take care of any discomfort and pain you have in your practice. That's really important. Because my experience is that pain draws me in, and I can't truly practice the way I would without severe pain. But that object that Yunmin talks about, that thing that is something before you, that thing can also be awakening, enlightenment, a realization, a thing that you can go after, that stands in front of you. You can come to Sesshin for a week thinking, yep, this is the week I'm going to really knock it out and have great Satori. And if that's the case, maybe it'll happen, but it will always recede. You're chasing something. You're chasing an object. And this is what Yunmin was warning, where we get stuck. It's very easy to get stuck, especially in states, where we're chasing states. States of bliss. States of wonder. These are natural, and they occur, and they arise and pass away. The next illness is penetrating the emptiness of all dharmas, but vaguely there seems to be an object. What he's saying here is, at some point, and particularly some point in Sesshin, you may be walking out in the garden and look at that katsura tree and think, wow, okay, that's me. That's that tree, it's breathing. It's there for you. It's there for me. And there's a point where everything disappears and becomes, to use a cliche, one. To see those waving leaves waving for you. It's alive, like you're alive. And you're it. Yunmin's warning here is that there's a faint container where all this is happening, where you're observing it. I had a Kensho experience. I am enlightened. Who? Who is enlightened? And it's so subtle. It's so subtle. Because sometimes that moment is so pure and clear, and you want to jump in and witness it. And tell a story about it. If not to others, to yourself. To create an identity around it. I've had an enlightenment experience. This is an illness. It's a stuckness. And it happens just as naturally as stepping into the light. And that's why we practice. And that's why Yunmen lays these out. It's not that there's ever a one and done. It's not that suddenly you've achieved something and then you never have to go on. Alan talked about this very clearly yesterday, that to the end, we are practicing. Because we are all human and we are all subject to stuckness, to illness. All of us. These aren't stages that we go through. They're not sequential. They're just arisings of the mind and the body and human. So, what's the cure for the illness? What's the thing that gets us unstuck? Well, you're doing it right now. This practice, the forms, and all our koan curriculum, they have been laid out for us over hundreds of years. So really what you need to do is just step on the path, because you can't cure your sickness. You can't get yourself unstuck. That would be still the you that's stuck. It's a mind warp and a conundrum. And so we don't worry about any of that. We just take a step on the path, like we're all doing, and trust. Trust Shikantaza, trust Zazen, trust the forms, trust the bowing. Trust Mu. When we work through koans, there's this wonderful sort of marination in the Dharma. We don't realize what's happening to us, and we aren't good judges of it. That's why we need teachers. As hard as it can be to work with teachers, we need them. And teachers need teachers. To trust the path is the only way to get unstuck, to cure the illness. You can't do it. But just the same, I find that incredibly liberating. Because I don't have to worry about it. As the collection is called, The Record of Going Easy. I can actually go easy and let it happen. Not worry about it. Not trying to fix the universe. Not trying to say that I am this way, I need to be that way, and reality isn't agreeing with me or conforming to my wishes. Just flow. Flow with it. Flow with the pain. Flow with the heartbreak. Flow with the joy. Step in and step on the path. Great Master Yunmen said, "When the light has not penetrated and dropped off, there are two kinds of illness. One is where everything is not clear, and before you there is something. The other is penetrating the emptiness of all dharmas, but vaguely there seems to be an object. This too is the light, having not completely penetrated and dropped off. Again, the Dharma body has two kinds of illnesses. One illness is receiving the Dharma body as the Dharma, holding it, and not forgetting seeing it as if it exists. This is to fall on the side of the Dharma body. Another is even though having passed straight through, you cannot let go. Next, carefully, attentively examine one by one. What breath is this? This too is exactly illness. Thank you. So, I'm inviting everyone to sit comfortably and yes, make a horseshoe. And if you have any questions, you know what to do. Start off with Ray.
Thank you for your talk, Mike. I initially resisted the koan because it strikes me very much in the Theravada tradition where you're on this path and you have these steps to go through and you go through these eight jhanas and then get to it. And my resistance is both Vimalakirti, who once said something like, I'm sick because the whole world is sick. Mm-hmm. And so, fundamentally, I practice not for myself, but for the whole world. So there's this whole bodhisattva vows, which is very precious and very unique to the Zen tradition. And for me, that's sort of like the grounding of my practice in Zen, is that this, it's just not me that's in this world. Yeah. So if I think I can be enlightened and leave everybody else down, you know, I'm going to be incredibly lonely and miserable. So the focus on saving all beings and so forth, the whole emphasis of our tradition, that's what for me provides its richness and a certain protection against my going off into my own awakening.
Right.
Separate, you know, not worry about it. It's,
yeah. Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Ray. It's so important that because when we say, I am enlightened, that almost contradicts what enlightenment is. Right? So that this and the bodhisattva vow of saving all beings, it's impossible, and yet that's what we do. It's not whether we can get it accomplished. That's not even a thought. And the same thing with sickness. Like Vimalakirti said about the world is sick, I am sick. That's the condition of being human. You know, sickness is to be human.
And I would just add a little piece to that. I agree with everything you said, except for doing it for others, but not for myself. I would say doing it for others and myself, because I'm part of those others. You're actually one with everything. And that's being a bodhisattva for me. Right, Ben? You're nodding, so you know what I'm talking about.
And if I could just piggyback that, you know, what Yunmen is doing in this koan is bodhisattva activity. Mm-hmm. All these beings have come to him because they want to be free. They want liberation. They want to wake up. And so he's exerting himself to save them. And so this is not Theravada at all. This is what the bodhisattva does in the role of teacher. And there are all kinds of ways to be a bodhisattva. Yunmen is exemplary as a teacher. That's why we're all sitting at his feet for 3 weeks.
I saw Bix.
I like this idea of all you have to do is step on the path, right? I once heard Jan Chosen Bates where she talked about it was like a beginner's mind retreat, and at the end of it she said now you're on it. Like it's like it's like a moving sidewalk at the airport where you step on and then you're stuck on it, and you know.
Yeah.
And then also I think, you know, you can always jump over the side rail of the
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You're still here.
Yeah.
Depends on effort, you know.
Well, yeah, and once you are on the path, that you're changed forever. And even if you think you're stepping off the path, you're on the path. There's no stepping off.
Mm. Yeah, it's related to what you said yesterday, Vix, about. You know, what about before I entered the path? Do you remember saying that? And, you know, so we're already awake. That's one of the Mahayana teachings. And I certainly feel it when I encounter other human beings and every once in a while myself. I see people get really, you know, they're on the path and they're very excited. And I mean, I might have said something similar to what Chosen said, but also, you know, already accomplished, complete. And we also have to, on those moving sidewalks, I love that metaphor, you can just hang out there. But I know I remember back in years and years ago when I used to take airplane rides, having to walk on the path. So you actually have to also, it's all these different elements together, but I really don't feel like we're ever not on the path, really. But recognizing, this is, I think, a lot of what Michael was saying, recognizing that we're on the path is a big deal. It's like, whoa, really me? It's the core of our koan curriculum, the koan mu, where the student says, does even a dog have the Buddha nature? You know, we know he's talking about himself. Yes, we would say, of course, Jiajia says no, but that's another matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're already on. I think that's why the three of us had this.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add that to appreciate what you're saying about, and it's what Melissa said right at the end about something is required of us, and there is some decision we're invited to with each breath, right? Some decision. How do we cooperate?
Mm.
With what's happening. You know, we're all stuck. And this is the entry point, right? It's only stuckness. And we are being carried on great winds across the sky. And how do we say yes to being undone? Right? Here on retreat and in life, we come up against our deepest clinging. This is me. I must be this. And part of, as Michael was saying so beautifully, this trust, it feels to me sometimes like I'm being ground down, right? Mm-hmm. Sitting here and I'm just dying, right? And to die well, to die with each breath. It is this great invitation that paradoxically leads us into life that has been here all along. Yeah.
Okay.
Deb.
So, thank you so much for the talk. That line that we read about wander into the circle of wonder.
Center of the circle of wonder.
I'm sorry?
Center of the circle of wonder.
Center. That really speaks to me, but the pain, so I get this pain in my shoulders, that's like, why am I holding on? It feels like it's this old stuff holding on, whatever. And when the Kiyosaka comes by, in the past I've really been afraid of it. And yesterday I was like, this is incredible. It was like, you know, it was just like this you know, burst of energy from, and not, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm getting beaten up or hurt, or, you know, it's just this thing, and I just, it felt like this wonder about, like, pain, and then the joy of, I love my chopping is my joy. You know, so it's all connected.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying with the Kiyosaku, and I really appreciate that. You're sort of expecting it to be one way, and it suddenly turns another way, and it's not so bad. But it could be bad. And so this is not about having an opinion, pro or con. It's about just seeing what's here immediately. Ow! Or, ah! You know, that's how we enter. Carol.
So thank you for the talk. One of the things that that I was so struck by was how you turn things around, and if I understand you correctly, that we're light. Okay, so that we're already light, right? And so the image that came for me was there's light out there, right? And then if you had a little crystal, the light hits it and refracts. And so the crystal is, I had the idea that the crystal is like the stuff that we, you know, the stuffness that we get into all the time. And so that, we can see the,
Because
you can't see
light. Yeah. Right. Well, in one of the other Yunmin koans, he says, we all have a light, but you can't see it. Yeah.
Well, and picking up on what you're saying, so what if what's wrong with us, the stuckness, is the resource, right? It is where we can see, where we can receive, not in what you're doing well and what you've got going for you. That's kind of a problem, because I'm a pretty good, but in this, whether we call it brokenness or stuckness, but those places that are contracted, and that's where we can know the light and move forward, and if these are resources, if where you are stuck is a resource, we are all indeed very wealthy, right? unlimited resource available.
Well,
David Roshi's comment makes me want to offer the image. The poet George Herbert and others write about us as stained glass, the stain. Right. And that's what makes it beautiful, right?
Yeah.
It has to go through the stain. Right?
Yeah, that is exactly it. And this is where this upside down world, where it's not about getting better and getting rid of and purifying, but appreciating the color of purple or green or brown or black, you know, whatever it is, we see the light. Yeah, thanks.
But in this very koan, when the line about the scar, which isn't in this translation, but it's in the one that we use in Boundless Way, that I was very touched yesterday by you describing what a scar looks like. You know, it actually glistens. There's something, and we don't see that. We think, physical pain, also emotional pain, yuck, get away from it, no. And these patterns that we keep asking you to turn towards, it takes a lot of courage to do that, and a lot of willing to be exposed. That's another word that you used, not today so much, but before. To bring it into the light. And we all have our own trajectory for this. Like, you can't just do it. Like, okay, I have some pain. I'm just going to hang out with it because I'm a Zen student, blah, 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 blah. But it's this moving in and out of, can I tolerate this? Nope. And I was thinking, can I just out you about the source of your pain?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay?
Sure, of course.
Michael broke his back years ago. This is like serious stuff. When he was saying, I'm leaving the coming and going, I'm going. It wasn't because, like, whatever, I'm not going to do it. It was like, whoa, too much. way too much. And this is what we have to know for ourselves. When is it the right amount? And when is it not? And we can't know that. We just have to go overboard and then pull back and go underboard over and over and over again and make tons of mistakes and hopefully not any that damage us completely, right? I was just so moved by your working with that pain all those years because it was a continual experiment, a Dharma experiment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just amazing.
You have a ray?
Just a simple comment. What touched me is that your pain prevented you from practicing the way you would like to practice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
That's it exactly.
That's right. Well, how about we go back to our seated position?